Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Thank you so much. So great to be back with you guys again. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in three scriptures today. Genesis 22, Exodus 3. And Isaiah 58. All right, you ready for the word? Thank you, Lord. We ask you, God, to supplement human words with your spirit today. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in this place, that when we walk away from today, whether we thought the service was great or the preaching was great or the worship was great, I pray that the one thing that would be resonating in our hearts was that you were here. You are great, Lord. May you be the testimony of today's gathering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 22. One of the most riveting chapters in the Torah to me. I want to teach you a Hebrew word today. Is that okay? All right. Hineni. Can you say that? Hineni. If you were to spell it in English, it would be H-I-N-E-N-I. Hineni. It's actually two Hebrew words. Please don't be impressed. I don't know Hebrew. But these are two words, hine and ani, put together. Hineni, and it means here am I, or behold, hine is behold, ani is me, behold me. And it is a supernatural word. It's a word that God's men and women have said throughout the ages, but it's an ultimate word. Behold me. We I used to live in Pensacola. They had the Blue Angels. You ever see the Blue Angels? Like these F-16s or 18s or whatever they are, flying. And we used to live there. I think every Tuesday they would practice. But wherever you were in Pensacola, if these things flew over, everybody's eyes are on it. Because you're beholding it. As Jesus was coming up, while John was immersing people in the Jordan, John stopped and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." In other words, stop looking wherever you're looking and look this way. Behold. When you behold something, you're looking, you've got your full focus and full attention on it. And then I don't have to tell you what me means. Me means me. Stop what you're doing and look at me. Hineni. I'm your man. I'm your woman. If you're a woman. I'm your woman. God, I am here. Now, it's interesting because when we say hineni to God, we're saying, look no further, here I am, and whatever you say to me, I will do it. You're actually volunteering without knowing what you're volunteering for. That's why it's an ultimate word. Some of us, especially comfortable Americans, If I stood up here and I said, hey, I'm looking for 10 volunteers, if you were smart, you would go, well, what are we volunteering for? An all-expense Awake mission trip to the beaches of Honolulu. Hineni. That's not how God is. He's not looking for your response based on your desires. He's looking for your response based on his desires. So when a man or a woman says hineni to God, he or she is saying, stop, look this way, I'm your guy, whatever you say to me, I will do it. Ultimate word, I don't want you to forget it. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Hineni. Stop what you're doing, God. Look this way. Behold me. I'm your guy. Whatever you say to me, I will do it. Verse 2. The Lord said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will show you. Lord, excuse me. I just said, behold me, because I'm going to do whatever you say. How can you say to do this? Theologians say that Abraham was somewhere between 115 and 135 years old, which means Isaac was anywhere between 15 and 35 years old. The son of promise, the son that Abraham waited his whole life for. Abraham in Hebrew means father of multitudes. This was the one son through whom the promise was going to be fulfilled. God calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know that, right? Jesus, who rightly spoken about, was not born a Christian. If you look at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, yada, 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 yada. If there's no Isaac, there's no Jesus. God invested his promise into Abraham. He said, Abraham, through you, every nation of the earth will be blessed. If you're sitting here and you're not Jewish, thank God, every nation means every nation. God loves Israel. He loves the Jewish people. But he didn't send Jesus just for the Jewish people. He said, for God so loved the world that through the womb of a Jewish woman, Jesus was born to take away the sins of the world. That's good news. And now God, 3,500 years before Jesus comes or more, says to Abraham, take your son and offer him up. Wow. Can I take my Hineni back? No, I actually have a ring that I try to wear all the time or as much as I can. And on this ring engraved is Hineni in Hebrew. Because I have so many opportunities to do my own thing and my own desires, and I wanted something on my hand to remind me of this word. Look no further, Lord, I'm your guy. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place which God had told him. Did you get this? He rose early. He didn't start fasting for 21 days. Lord, confirm your word to me. That's what I would have done. Lord, send me three people today, a man, a woman, and a Jew, and have them confirm it to me. Lord, let some plane go by in the sky and write Hineni on the clouds. When you say Hineni to God, you don't need to ask for confirmations to follow. You rise early and you do what God said. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes, saw the place from a distance. Abraham said, stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return to you. By the way, this is the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible, I believe. The law of first mention means that the first time a word is used in the Bible is really the purest form of that word. We will go yonder and worship. No drums, no microphones, no musicians, no singers. Worship. Worship means giving your best to God. Abraham not only was giving his best, he was giving his only. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And by the way, you want to hear something crazy? This was the land of Moriah, where Abraham was asked to offer his son Isaac on the altar. You know where Jesus died? On a mountain in Moriah. Coincidence? I don't think so. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." Abraham said, "Hineni, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Verse 8, Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb." We're getting ready to celebrate Passover tomorrow. On the calendar, Jewish people around the world, I think it's a week or so away. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God, through Abraham, is prophesying of a lamb that will come as the ultimate sacrifice and give his life on the very place where God was asked to offer up his son Isaac. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built the altar there, arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. By the way, when I read this story, I'm like gripped. Because Isaac's somewhere between 15 and 35 years old. We talk about the faith of Abraham here. But Abraham's 115 years old. He's no match for a 15-year-old sprawling son. Who, if Isaac decided to think his dad was crazy, that would have been a perfect time to say, "Dad, you're nuts. I ain't doing it." No fight. Isaac bound and laid on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and Abraham said, "Hineni." It's like, "Thank you, Hineni." Verse 12, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up in the place of his son. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Hineni. It's the pathway word to supernatural provision. It's saying to God, "You can say whatever you want to me, I will do it." And then when he asks you to give of your best in worship, you know what he does to you? He gives back exceedingly abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. Oh, Scott, are you trying to take an offering now? No. Because worship has far more to do with the money that you can easily give. It's a life that God is looking for to offer up to him and say, "Lord, here am I." You want to see supernatural provision in your life? Start saying Hineni to God. Because when you say Hineni to God, the name of that place becomes "The Lord will provide." Abraham, Abraham, Hineni. I say, May we be a Hanani people so that we can see supernatural provision from heaven in our lives. That's the first Hanani I want to talk about. I've got three. Second one, Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb, the mountain of God. Just want to stop there for a second. If I were the Lord, and I wanted to call a mountain the mountain of God, I would choose Mount Everest. Like, wow. I was watching a documentary on Sherpas, these guys that help these people climb Everest. And you can't do Mount Everest justice on television, but even on like television, it's like, oh my gosh. Do you know what Horeb means? Dry, waste place. The mountain of God, where we would choose the amazing, the awe-inspiring mountain. You know what God calls his mountain? Horeb. For its beauty? Yes, but not how we determine beauty. For its majesty? Yes, but not the way we determine majesty. Dry, barren, waste place. I think the last time I was here, we talked about dead things coming to life. That God is the God who gives life to the dead. Friends, don't despise dry places. Because you may find a burning bush there that changes your life. Many of us want to get out of the dry place, out of the wilderness place, into the land of promise when God is saying, oh, if you'll just say Hanani to me, I may show up in ways that will defy your understanding. That the thing that man writes off as ugly, dry, detestable, God says, I see potential in that place. Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. By the way, Moses is 80 here. He spends the first 40 years of his life as the son of Pharaoh's daughter in a palace in Egypt. You know the story. He sees one of the Egyptian men abusing a Hebrew slave. He goes out at 40 years old, knowing that God called him, by the way, to be a deliverer, according to Stephen's account in the book of Acts. And he goes and he kills an Egyptian man, hides him in the sand. It becomes known among the Israelite slaves. And the next day, he's out and about. And these slaves say, who made you prince over us? Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Moses, boom, goes from a palace in Egypt to a desert for 40 years. If I was God, Moses at 40 would have been my ideal deliverer. He would have had fame. He would have had notoriety. He would have had enough followers on social media to lead the charge. But God sends him to the backside of a desert for 40 years to become unknown. And you know what he was doing? He was tending to sheep. The lowliest of jobs. I don't know what the lowliest of jobs would be now in your mind, but think of maybe the thing that people would least desire to do because it pays the worst and there's no way to kind of climb the ladder. That's what Moses was doing. From a palace to tending sheep. From a palace to the backside of the desert, the mountain of God. It's easy for us to despise dry places. But something had to happen in Moses between the age of 40 and the age of 80 to set him up to be God's man for deliverance. Verse 4. Back to verse 3. Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why this bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, Hineni. Here am I. Whatever you say to me, I will do it. God says, take off your shoes. The place where you're standing is holy. In the place that Moses probably least expected to see God show up, he shows up in a bush. Again, the ways of God blow me away. The mountain of God should be Everest, right? Not a dry, puny mountain. God showed up in a desert bush. You ever drive through Texas in the summer, like I-10? I had to drive once from Dallas to Phoenix on I-10, and it's a long way from Dallas to El Paso, like 8 long hours on a road that is just straight. Like if your car goes straight, I think you can go to sleep for 4 hours, and you're still going to be on that same path. And in the middle of the desert, you get these weeds that I think they're called tumbleweeds. Just rolling. That's a desert bush, friends. Beth and I were doing some landscaping at our house a couple of days ago. We've got some bushes that are not flowering. They're ugly. Beth said, try the fertilizer on them. I'm like, honey, I don't know that these things have a chance. That's what a desert bush looks like. That's the last place you expect that God would show up. The bush starts burning. It's not consumed. Moses turns aside to look. Out of the bush comes this divine voice, Moses, Moses. Rather than Moses getting freaked out thinking that a bush is talking to him, he says, here am I, Lord. Take your shoes off. The ground which you're standing is holy. Look at verse 10. Therefore, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Do you realize how crazy this is? Moses is 80, mangled hair, smelly. It's got a little rod and just a bunch of sheep. God didn't show up at some school of ministry or university to find the man who did the best on his SATs and who lifted the heaviest weights in the gym to say, you're my man. He chooses an 80-year-old man who's doing the lowliest jobs on the backside of the desert, unknown by Pharaoh. The economy of God is crazy. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We got any 80-year-old men in here? Oh, now you're younger than 80 and you're a woman. But you qualify. We all qualify. But you think you're more, we may think we're more qualified when we're 40. And God can use a 40-year-old. But for whatever reason right here, he chooses to use a man way beyond his prime to lead one of the most amazing supernatural stories the Bible even speaks of which we spoke this morning, the Exodus. Look at how Moses responds. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" What a great response. Who am I? Who am I that I should go? That's what Moses said. Lord, who am I? We've got people going to God saying, "Look at me, God. Now's my time. Use me." Moses said, "Who am I?" When we say Hanani to God, we really understand that we can't do things in our own strength. This is what Art Katz says. No man is more qualified to fulfill God's purposes than when he thinks himself unqualified. I just want you to let that sink in for a second. No man is or woman is more qualified to fulfill God's purpose than when he or she thinks themselves unqualified. It's incredible. God chose a mountain that has no natural beauty of its own. He chose a bush, and he chose an unqualified man in the natural. If we were looking for deliverers and we were on Mount Horeb, I don't think Moses would have been part of our plan. And then look what God says in verse 12 of Exodus 3. God said, "Certainly, I will be with you. I will be with you. Now's your time, 80-year-old Moses. Now's your time, 135-year-old Abraham. Are you willing to say Hanani?" I'm going to close with this scripture. Isaiah 58. "Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry?" This is a God fast. By the way, if you look at chapter 58 of Isaiah, the first five verses tells you how not to fast. You know, you can fast in an ungodly way. You can give in an ungodly way. All these things that we consider worship, there are true, authentic ways to worship. And then there's counterfeit ways. Ananias and Sapphira gave probably more money than those people had ever seen before, but it was not pleasing to God. It was a false worship. If you're going to fast, fast the right way. Verse 7, "To divide your bread among the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house. When you see the naked, cover them and don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn. Your recovery will speedily spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." Everybody stand, because I want you standing when I read this verse and close. Check this out. "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and God will say to you, Hanani." What? God says Hanani to us? God says, "Don't look any further. I'm your guy. Whatever you say to me, I will do it." That's crazy, friends. That's what we're supposed to say to God. And you know what? When we say that to God, God says that to us. And I am here today to encourage you to be a Hanani people. Do you know that you have access to a God who says Hanani to you when you are in a right relationship with him? That there's nothing that you can ask him that he's not willing to do for you? No wonder there's supernatural provision and promotion and protection. You get supernatural presence of God. Moses had that too. Exodus chapter 33, God said, "Listen, I've had it with you, you and your people. I'm going to send an angel with you." I'm not down on angels. I'd love to have an angel with me. But when God offered Abraham the angel of angels, you know what he said? Nuh-uh. If you don't go with me, I ain't going. That's the Hineni God. Supernatural provision, supernatural promotion, supernatural protection, and supernatural presence of God. And he's looking down today and says, I want to do that for Awake Church. I want to do that for you. What are you believing God for? Can I just say this? If you put yourself in a disposition of being a Hineni man or a Hineni woman, God will come through victoriously. Would you just lift your hands with me? Father, I pray that you look down. Your word talks about praying with uplifted hands. Father, that's our posture right now. So Lord, as we pray, I ask you to look down and to see the hearts of these precious people here today. Lord, we say Hineni to you. Yes. Hineni, Lord. Here am I. If it's in your heart to say Hineni to the Lord, can you just in your own words say, Lord, here am I. Hineni, look down. Father, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Help me, Lord. I yield my own self to you, and I say, whatever you say, Lord, I will do. We need you. Lord, if we're looking at mountains that are just beautiful in the eyes of man, take our eyes off of those things. If we're looking at mountains that are beautiful because you're in them, Lord, keep our eyes right there. Help us know the difference between the holy and the profane, the real and the artificial. And Father, I ask you to pour out your spirit at Awake Church. Lord, that there would be testimonies of your amazing provision as we yield to you. Testimonies of your amazing protection, Lord, as we yield to you. Testimonies of promotions that defy human understanding, Lord, as we yield to you. And we thank you for your life. We thank you that you're a Hineni God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.